It's applesauce season, right? At least it is in our house. And I was driving down through Canajoharie the other day, and I was driving by this guy's house, and out in front of his lawn, along the edge of the road, was probably 20 to 30 bags of apples. And being the resourceful guy that I am, I'm like, bing, applesauce season, apples, apparently for free, wow. And so I, what are you guys thinking? Oh boy. So I pull in the driveway and go talk to the owner. And I said, what's the deal with these apples? Hey, you can take them, use them, whatever you want. They were drops from the storm that went through. And so I went out, grabbed a couple bags. And as I started searching through, I realized that they were not all in the best of shape. You know, as I would open a bag, there'd be these bugs that come flying out and this wafting aroma of rotten, smelly, soft, brown, dewy apples. You're grimacing? These are apples we're talking about, right? Come on now. Aren't apples good? Yeah. Well, nevertheless, I came home with like 10 or 12 bags. I spent the next hour picking through the bags. Rotten apples in the wagon, nice apples in the bucket. And I spent the, and I was just doing this. And we ended up with an entire wheelbarrow full of apples, and we did applesauce for an entire day. It was a family affair, had a wonderful time doing it, but I got a problem. Remember all those rotten apples? Okay. Well, I had my children take these rotten apples and throw them into the weeds. And they put them into the weeds. And guess what happens every time I round the corner of the house? Not bees. I get an aroma. We have an entire like pile of rotting apples in our yard. And now it smells. It stinks. It's nasty. Can't wait till they stop. All right, where am I going with this? Applesauce, now you're hungry. Rotten apples, now you're not. Our text this morning, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Ephesians chapter 4, and verse 29. Now, we are in the trenches in the book of Ephesians. What I mean by that, we are in the practical section of confrontation. In other words, what Paul is doing is says, I've talked to you about doctrine, I've talked about who you are in Christ, about your salvation, about the church and as the body of Christ and how you are to be living that out. Now we're in some practical sections where he is giving us specific commands and instructions on how we are to be living. If you're like me, this can be very daunting. This can be hard because what we're going through is confronting us, isn't it? It's pointing its finger at us and pressing it into our chest, making us pay attention to our lives. Well, that's the Word of God, folks. That's the Word of God, and that's the power of the Word of God. And there is a reason that this text is in God's Word. It's because God wants us as his people, as his body, to know how we are to be living. So if you're here today, you call yourself a Christian, you need to pay attention to this. I mean, if you're here today and you're not sure if you're a Christian, well, then you need to realize the incredible blessing that there is in Christ. But I will tell you, if you don't know Christ, doing these things will be extremely frustrating to you. You know Christ today, it is possible for you to live and obey these commands, to put off the old man, to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and to put on the new man. Our text talks about the tongue, about the mouth, about communication. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Let that sit on your chest for a little while. It's pretty clear. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Now you could ask the question, as I did, you know, why would Paul include this specific command, this specific example? Well, I believe in Paul's day, as it is in our day, the mouth is a source of major problems. I believe that the mouth, on the flip side, can be a source of tremendous blessings. It is not by chance that God gave us His Word in written form and called preachers to use their mouths to speak it. You see, God has given us this tongue and mouth to form words and to use it to be a blessing to other people, to minister grace. We're going to break this verse down, seek to understand it a little bit more, and draw some application from it. In the original language, the verse would go something like this: all rotten speech out of the mouth of you all must not come forth, must not proceed out, but whatever is good unto edification of the need, in order that it might give grace to the hearers. The emphasis here at the beginning of the verse is on rotten speech. Rotten speech. And that's why I gave you the picture of the brown, mushy apple. Of what value is the brown, mushy apple to you as the person who wants to eat, who is hungry? It actually is, it's a turnoff. It's distasteful. It's something that pushes you away. It's putrid. It, to you and to your stomach, it would be rendered worthless. Now, I know you can make a case for composting, but we're not talking about that today. We're talking about you as people, and we're talking about rotten speech. And I want you to have in your mind the rotten apple and how worthless it is, how perverse it is. It's rotten. This word is the word that is used throughout the New Testament to speak of rotten fruit, to speak of fruit that is of no value on the tree. It's rotten. It falls and it becomes worthless. So, the emphasis here, let no corrupt communication, no speech that is rotten, proceed out of your mouth. This is a command. This is an imperative. This is something that you are to do. I believe the idea that's coming across here is that Paul is saying you need to stop doing this. This is not to be a part of your lives, church. Let's remember, this is the early church days. These folks are probably first-generation Christians. They are new to Jesus Christ. He has saved them and changed their lives gloriously, but yet there are still some things in their lives that have not changed, and now God is giving them instructions. This is my, God's, expectation for you, my church, my body. Your speech should not be rotten, but it should be good. The passage in James that we looked at with the children earlier uses the illustration of a fountain. And the fountain brings forth one kind of water. It doesn't bring forth different kinds. It's one kind. And if it's sweet water, it's going to be sweet water. If it's salt water fountain, then it'll be a salt water fountain. That's what's going to come out. And the emphasis is that you need to be who you are and live it out wholly. And allow your mouth to be such that represents who you are as the body of Christ, as a believer in Jesus, a member of that body. I don't think I need to make the case too hard that we need to watch what we say. I would venture to agree that most of us here would say, if we were asked, I am to speak good things. I should not speak rotten things. I think that we would all say that. Now, obviously, do we all do that is the question. And how do we understand and discern what is rotten and what is good? Now, you might think that, well, that's kind of an obvious question, answer. Well, is it? Is it? Now, I will tell you, as you walk in the Spirit of God, as Galatians tells us, you will come to realize very quickly what the difference is. But I want you to realize it is very easy for this mouth and for this tongue to speak some rotten things. To speak some things that are of no value. In fact, to speak things that cause problems. I want to look at the positive aspect of this command here, because this is really what we are to be doing, the second half of the verse. So it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Okay, we got that. All right? Nothing rotten. Well, then what should we be doing? Remember, put off, put on. Well, we are to be speaking that which is good. What is good? Well, Paul gives us a definition here. This is what's good. Speak that which is good unto the edification of the need. And this was a fascinating discovery for me as I studied this scripture. Because the translation that we have in our Bible could be a bit misleading, because it says that which is good to the use of edifying. And it gives the idea that you're bringing the edification to the person, which in aspects you are, but the real focus is here, edification according to the need, or unto the need. The need is what you're building up. So what is the need? The need is that which the people have around you. There are apparent needs and things that are around you that need your tongue to minister grace into those situations. So here's something that I learned, and I believe will be helpful to you. It is of utmost importance that we as believers in Jesus Christ are discerning of the people and the situations that are around us. In other words, we cannot get by living a reckless life, flying by the seat of the pants, using our tongue. We've got to pay attention to what's happening around us. Who's hurting? Who's struggling? Who needs encouragement and strength? Because this mouth, God wants me to minister to that need. To build that need, to build it up, to build that person who's experiencing this need so that they might experience grace. Let me ask you, is your mouth a gift of grace to those that hear it? Is it a gift of grace? Is the words that come out of your mouth a blanket of favor that people understand, I am of value. I am honored by God and this individual. There's a lot of different environments where we use our mouths. Obviously, the one that's closest to home is the home. The people that you spend most of your time with, we need to minister grace in our homes. The people around us need to experience the grace of God, and they will through a tongue, through a mouth that speaks that which is good. Does that describe you today? Does that describe me? You know what? I did a little research and I found that one study said that women speak 20,000 words a day. Men speak somewhere around 7,000 words a day. Nevertheless, we speak a lot of words. A lot of sounds are coming out of this mouth. A lot of things are just flowing out. A lot of people are hearing what we're saying. Every time we open this mouth, it's an opportunity for ministry. It's an opportunity for edification of the need, and are you discerning what the needs are around you? You know, practically, I come home from studying in the office. I come home to the house, and this has happened. I come home and I ask my dear wife, "What did you do all day?" Okay, now, do you get my drift? All right. Okay. What am I doing? I'm coming home and I am not discerning the situation. I'm not paying attention to the need. I'm just spouting off my mouth. Now, am I being mean? No. I try to be caring, you know, and I try to so what did you do today? And, you know, in her situation, you know, she's got a baby on her hip. She's stirring the noodles in the pan and there's toys on her at her feet. You know. Now, This is something that can happen, right? But there's a part about who we are that we need to be able to discern. These are the things that are going on. God, how can I best minister with my mouth? How can I best allow the hearer to experience your grace through me? And that could you could do that in all kinds of different ways, and it all depends on the situation, and it all depends on the people. Let me ask you this. Sometimes there is a need, a situation that you will discern needs some tough exhortation. Have you ever had a brother or sister in Christ that has gone astray and you've had to go and confront them in love? Now, they don't always like that, but what are you doing? If you're doing it in love and a spirit of restoration, you are ministering grace to them, to that situation, in that need, even though you may be saying some very hard things. See, this is why I believe this is important for us to understand here, that this doesn't mean that we just go around saying happy-go-lucky type stuff. We are ministers, and we use this mouth to speak grace into the lives of people. And sometimes those may be hard things, but they are good, and they're useful to building up that the person who's experiencing this need, the situation needs God's grace. And you and I have been given a mouth to contribute, to speak, to give God's grace. That's why I ask you, do you look at your mouth as a gift of God's grace? You come home from work. God, may my mouth be a gift of God's grace today to my home, my family. You enter the office. Oh God, may my mouth be a gift of your grace to my coworkers. As you spend time with your children, oh God, may my mouth be a gift of grace. As you need to discipline your children, oh God, may my mouth be a gift of grace. As you talk to a friend, oh God, may my mouth be a gift of grace. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Now, I want you to realize that this verse applies to all believers. This verse, this command, is for all of our speech. And this command is to provide grace for all the hearers of what comes out of our mouths. Okay? So you are not an exception. I am not an exception. If you are a child of the Lord Jesus Christ today, this means you. And this means you need to pay attention to this. This means your mouth should not be spouting forth rotten, worthless, perverse things. Things that are of no value, things that tear people down, things not of God. Allow your mouth to be a gift of encouragement. Allow your mouth to minister loving exhortations. Allow your mouth to give helpful instructions. May you sit back at the end of the day, and as you evaluate your day, would you think about your speech? How was my speech today? Did I minister grace? Did people experience the grace of God through my mouth? The book of Ephesians is not the only place that speaks of this importance, the importance of the mouth. I've got a list of scriptures here I want to share with you. And you can write them down or just listen. But I just want you to listen to the Word of God. Interestingly enough, I was in Proverbs chapter 15 this week in my devotions. And I found three or four verses. I got three here. Three verses at least that deal with this issue. Listen to Proverbs 15:4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Proverbs 15:23. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? Proverbs 15:28, the heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. That was fascinating to me. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer. Proverbs 15:28. I mean, pay attention to the people and situations that you're in so you know how to best use this mouth. Psalm 141:3. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. And that's not a clock. That's a guard. Set a watch over my mouth, before my mouth, O Lord. Keep the door of my lips. Psalm 141:3. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 15, verses 18 through 19, says, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. And he continues on. But the important thing is what comes out of the heart, what comes out of the mouth is what's in the heart. Do you realize the gravity of what Jesus just said? If you are one who is spouting forth evil, perverse, rotten type things, that's what's in your heart. That ought not to be in the church of God, as you and a saint of Jesus Christ, a child of His, ought not to be. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Are you catching the idea that God expects us to put a little bit of thinking in before we open His mouth? Right? We've got to, you know, we tell our kids all that, you know, you've got to think before you speak. But so should we. Think before you speak. Be discerning of what God is doing around you. And then use your mouth to minister grace and give grace to the hearers. Romans in chapter 14, verse 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. In Romans 15, verse 2, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification, to building up. So how are you doing with your mouth? Honestly, a serious evaluation is in order. God's word is calling out to you with this instruction and this command. This ought not to be. You got to stop allowing corrupt, perverse, rotten things out of your mouth. Should not be. Instead, those things that are good, those things that edify the need, those things that are building up so that the hearers, they're ministered to, they're given a gift, they're given grace. That should be true in our assembly as a church. It should be true on the drive home in your vehicle. It should be true of you at work. It should be true of us as we walk our everyday lives. It's a powerful, powerful thing, the mouth. But God, He's given it to us so that we can minister to others. And I pray that we would be a group of people, that we take that calling and we are ministers. Ministers, givers of grace. Lord, Your word has gone forth, and I've preached as I believe You've desired me to preach. I pray that You would take this and use this in the lives of families, in the lives of individuals, in the lives of this church. And I pray that we would be propelled to godliness, to gracious speech. Lord, I pray for those that may be here today and they are, Lord, dealing with conviction over this issue. I want to ask You, Lord Jesus, You administer grace into their lives. I pray that the hard things that were said today that have impacted their hearts, that they would realize that it is good to walk in Your ways. It is right and true. Oh God, You are a wonderful God, and we thank You for Your grace in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.